they're probably pretty glad to get rid of me once in a while. After about 30 years, you know, fellow sort of wears on you maybe a little bit. But I'm glad to be here. I'm thankful for this congregation and for the encouragement that you are to me. I really am. I have two verses of scripture for my text this morning. One is in the Old Testament, and if you'll turn there in the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And then my other text is in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 in the New Testament and the 8th verse. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I want to speak as carefully and as clearly as I can today to you. My subject is Jesus Christ, the same. I came across an old hymn recently by an old writer sometime in the 1700s. And I thought, when I read the verses, how that I believe he had some understanding of God as he is in Christ. I want to read three verses to you and listen to them carefully. Thy throne, eternal ages stood, ere seas or stars were made. Thou art the ever-living God, were all the nations dead. Eternity, with all its years, stands present in thy view. To thee there's nothing old appears. To thee, there's nothing new. Our lives through various scenes are drawn and vexed with trifling cares, while thine eternal thought moves on, thine undisturbed affairs. He said, your view stands present. Your eternal view stands present. And with you, there's nothing old appears. And with you, there's nothing new. Every attribute of God is essential to his being God. And not only that, but each attribute makes the others what they are. And furthermore, each attribute of God requires us to confront something about God as He is and in what He does. And such an attribute is what is called the immutability of God. You can look at all the books of theology, and under their doctrine of God, sometimes you'll find this as a heading under His attributes, the immutability of God. And by the immutability of God, we mean that He always is and was and will be the same. That He undergoes no changes either of His essence or of His being or of His properties or of His perfections. Immutability is simply the fact that God does not change. And that's what He says in our first text there in Malachi 3. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. And that means that the God with whom we have to do is not only the same God of Adam and of Moses, the God of Abraham and of Peter, James, and John and Paul, but He is also the same as He was then in each of their times. He is the same. And He cannot change for the better, and He will not change for the worst. He remains the holy, self-existent, perfect, and eternal God. And when Moses asked Him who it was that He was to tell Pharaoh that sent him, He simply gave that name, which exemplifies Him as being just exactly that. He says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And when He asks you, you say to Him and to the children of Israel, I am sent you. And that's probably like the old preacher expressed it maybe best of all. I am is simply I am was, I am is, and I am gonna be. I am the Lord, and I change not. Plus, whatever He required then, hated then, said then, He does now and will for all of time and eternity. What offended Him then, what provoked Him then, still does. He is described as the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. And so times change and men change, but God doesn't change. And for that reason, it is not a contemporary gospel that men need, but the everlasting gospel that God has already given. And he will not change his mind today, nor will he change it when his enemies have been in hell for a billion years. He'll still be the same. And that really ought to make us to think and be concerned for our eternal souls. Because God will not change regarding his threats. He is always the same. But this is also the reason for hope. This is also the reason why we ought to be encouraged in a measure, because that which guarantees the eternal punishment of those who are called the vessels of wrath also guarantees the eternal salvation of those who are called the vessels of mercy. You see, he'll be the same. He will not change toward both. And if there was a way that he could be gracious to Adam, if there was a way that he could be gracious to Abraham, who was an idolater, if there was a way that he could be gracious to Moses or Caleb or Joshua, or any of the Old Testament saints, if there was a way he could be merciful and gracious to those we read about in the New Testament, then there's still a way. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, Jacob is that name that is given to the people of God to show exactly what they are by nature and in themselves. It is not a name of praise at all. Because the elect of God, though they are the objects of his grace and mercy, they are of themselves, as we all are by nature, these Jacobs, these sinners and connivers and supplanters. And they, if left to themselves, would consume themselves and therefore be consumed by the wrath of Almighty God. But he says to these sons of Jacob, I am the Lord, I change not, and because of that, you are not consumed. Because the Lord God is unchanging in himself and unchanging in his grace and mercy toward them, it is for that reason that they are not consumed, and it is for this reason that it assures that he gets all the glory. I don't know if you figured this out or not. If you have, it certainly was not of your own doing, but God will have everything in salvation as well as every other thing, but especially in salvation, everything will work to the praise of the glory of His grace. And it is for this reason that He will get all the glory, because God's immutability assures the salvation of His people. That is, God is unchanging in His mercy and gracious to these He calls the sons of Jacob. They are these who elsewhere are called His elect, a people that He, for reasons known only to Himself, loved and chose in old eternity. And He chose these sinners in Christ before the world began, and since then He has not altered or changed in the thoughts that He thought toward them. He said, "You may not know them, but I know the thoughts that I have thought toward you." And you can say, every one of God's people, that long before they are ever brought to have a single thought about the true God or a single thought of His purpose and grace toward them in Christ, God thought thoughts of them, and He knows them, and He has not changed. Their salvation has always been in Jesus Christ. You see, His coming into this world, and most especially His dying on that cross outside of Jerusalem in order to save them, that is not an afterthought with God. It is not a contingency plan of God. And I know that dispensationalists say, well, God tried to save me in this way and that didn't work, and He tried to save me in the other way and it didn't work. He used law, He used morality, He used all these things, and when none of those things didn't work, He sent His Son into the world and saved them by Him and by His grace. That's rubbish. That is nonsense. Because He is the Lord, and He changes not. And you see, the Lord that we read about in Malachi 3 is none other than Jehovah, who is none other than Jehovah Jesus. And He has to be. Because what is said of the Lord Jesus Christ is said of God, showing that He is God. He says it in Malachi 3, "I am the Lord, I change not." And He says it in Hebrews 13, "Jesus Christ." In other words, the apostle is saying, this is the message of those that have the rule over you. It is this: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And the only way that this man, Jesus Christ, can be said to be the same yesterday and today and forever, the only way that this attribute that is reserved to God can be said of Him is for Him to be God. He is Jesus Christ the same. And the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us is, as John says, the same Word that was with God in the beginning and the same as was God. You see, right at the heart of man's natural unbelief, right at the heart of most every false doctrine and false religion, is this denial that this man, Jesus Christ, who walked on this earth in human flesh, is one and the same immutable, unchanging God manifest in the flesh. So what does this mean? Well, it means that whatever Jesus Christ is to his people now, he was to them before time began, and he will be when time is no more. He's the same. He changes not. Whatever he purposed to do, he did and he will do, and especially when it comes to saving every one of them, because he is the author of what? Eternal salvation. Because the blood that he shed is described not in some random way, not even in some present sense, but it is the blood of the everlasting covenant. This morning at the motel, I sat there and I did a search. And I just searched quickly. That's the one good thing about this little phone I've got. You know, I got a Bible program on it, and I can search real quickly. If I want to find something real fast and I'm not where I can get near a concordance or my computer. And so I did a search. I just want to search and see. I was going to count for you how many times that word everlasting is in the scripture. I can tell you this, more times than I had time to count this morning. He's the everlasting God. Christ is the author of eternal salvation. His blood, as I said, is the blood of the everlasting covenant. And what he is to his people, he has been and always will be. Always will be. Did God change with regard to his people? Did he begin to love them, though one time he didn't love them? Did he change in viewing them what they are as his children? I've heard preachers say this many times. They say, well, the Bible says that we are children of wrath, and God in his grace can take us if you'll let him, and you'll be changed from a child of wrath to a child of God. If that takes place, God changed. It doesn't say we're children of wrath. It says we're by nature children of wrath. And that's what every one of us are, by nature, children of wrath. But in God's grace, we are what we've always been, in Christ Jesus, the children of God. And what we became in Adam has never changed what God thought concerning us in the Lord Jesus Christ. If that happened, he changed. But he's the same. And that's why in that Christ is set forth as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And he is the Lamb hanging on that cross outside of Jerusalem. And he's that Lamb that appears newly slain when John sees him in the revelation in heaven. He's that Lamb that is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We don't do anything but change. But he doesn't change. We're as fickle and as faulty as we can be, but he doesn't change. I read this that an old writer said. He said, I thought about all the things men do to warrant salvation or earn it. I thought about how for so long I strove to deserve God's favor and merit his mercy. But then it occurred to me, I know that all that I do, all the good things for the wrong reasons, all the ulterior motives, all my works tainted with sin, and my good intentions won't earn me anything, only condemn me. But there is also nothing I can do to keep the Lord from saving me. Isn't that something? And do I did. And do I'm doing, it looks like, Winston, everything I can to keep the Lord from saving me. But I can't do anything. Just as I couldn't do anything to save myself, I can't do anything to keep him from saving me because he's the Lord. He changes not. You see, his immutability assures us that all his pledges and promises in the everlasting covenant, all his purpose of grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, shall not fail. Somebody said, well, my problem is me. I'm worried about me failing. Well, my friend, if you ever think for 1 minute you might possibly not fail, you don't have any hope. He says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Everywhere in this book is this constant reassurance and reminder that the will and purpose and covenant of God in Jesus Christ shall stand. He says, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. He can't change. He can't change. Turn over to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. If you look down in verse 13, listen to what it says concerning Abraham, and as it is Abraham, the father of all who believe, those people of God. He says in verse 13, and when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Well, you see, in this business of salvation, that's why men like to take the doctrine of election. They say, here's the way election is. God votes for you, the devil votes against you, and you cast the deciding vote. No. We weren't there. The devil wasn't there. No other person was there except that one person, who is himself described as the beginning. The wisdom of God, Jesus Christ. And if he purposed to save this people that he gave to Christ, they're going to be saved. You say, well, you just cast off all responsibility with man. You don't preach responsibility. No, I don't preach ability. No man can come to me, Christ said, except the Father draw him. But here is the hope of all who would be saved. It is in the purpose and will of God in Christ Jesus. He says, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. You ever stop and think, as men often do, well, what about if Abraham doesn't do this? Or what about if Abraham doesn't do that? God says, I will bless you. Can anybody stop him? I'll bless you. If I have to kill you, I'll bless you. If I have to take everything you've got away from you, I'll bless you. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. We look at that in our natural state and we say, well, you know, what about man's free will? And what about this kind of stuff and that kind of stuff, you know? Or, oh, I don't like that. That sounds so negative. That's the only positive thing that there is concerning us. God's saying, I will. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. He says, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, what did they say about Melchizedek? Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Said he had neither beginning of days or end of days. That means he has an eternal priesthood. And in that eternal priesthood, he is the unchangeable one. And all of God's counsel and oath, his purpose and his promise, the whole of his will, in Christ. You see it in whether or not we will for him to save us. That's our salvation. It's Christ doing the will of God that is our salvation. I love what it says in Daniel 9. when he talks about what he does, what the Messiah would do. You remember what he says the Messiah would do? Look down at in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's kind of strange language, isn't it? To bring in everlasting righteousness. Well, that's exactly what it's been. If he's the Lord, our righteousness, he's always been the Lord, our righteousness, because he changes not. He is the everlasting righteousness. He is, as God, the eternal Son, God's mediator, God's priest, God's prophet, God's king, and he took to himself these glorious offices upon which all our salvation hinges a long time ago. He says, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. And he is now the same. I don't know about that. That's what he says. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And because he changes not, his other attributes change not. In Lamentations, Jeremiah says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. He says by the psalmist in Psalm 118, his mercy endures forever. He says the works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure, they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The truth of the Lord endures forever. Jeremiah said, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Every one of thy righteous judgments endure forever. That's the message of this book. Right down to that book that we have coming through the hands of that very austere man, James. Some people took the book of James and cut it out of their Bibles. They said it wasn't inspired. But I'll tell you what James said. He said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. all that God gives in His grace in Christ, He gives as the one who never changes. No variableness, no turning. His grace in the Lord Jesus Christ changes not, and what He has promised in the gospel, which is to receive all who come to Him in Christ, that stands unchanged at this hour. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is only one way to God, and it is Him who is called the way. There is only one way for God to be just and to justify us, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is only one way, one ground upon which He can bless us, and that is in the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus. But I'll say two things to that. Although there's only one way, one mediator, there is a way. And He's always been the way. And He'll always be the way, because He never changes. And for that reason, He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. And every soul that God chose in Christ, that made Christ surety for them, that blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, which is all who are brought to believe on Him, if He's the same, they're safe. They're safe. No matter what changes in this world, and change it does, doesn't it? He's always the same. It always amazes me that everywhere everybody is either wanting change or lamenting over the change that has come, which shows that they're never, ever satisfied. They want nothing to do with the one who changes not. Christ's everlasting unchangeableness, that who He was before all times and continues in all ages, will be all time in all times so continue. He is the one which is, and which was, and which is to come. What a reason it is to seek Him for mercy, for grace, for forgiveness, for full salvation. And what a reason it is to trust Him and to rest in Him and to rejoice in His unchanging person and work and faithfulness, and to be comforted in these days and to have hope in spite of our own fickle, sinful selves. And because the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and because He changes not, His people will never be consumed. They'll not be consumed by their sins. They'll not be consumed by the devil, They'll not be consumed by the world. They'll not even be consumed by themselves. Because he changes not. Feelings change. Circumstances change. Family changes. Friends change. Health changes. Local churches change. Preachers change. Everything changes. But the one who's the same. Oh, John Owen said, the last circumstance of distress is death. With the way and manner of whereby it may approach us, and how soon this will be, we know not. And the soul's relief lies in God's immutability, that we shall find him the same to us in death as he was in life, and much more, much more. He's always the Savior of his people. He never changes. And that's the most solid ground upon us, for us to rest upon who he is and what he has done in his cross work. God, help us to rest in his unchanging self and Son.